How can AI and privacy leaders manage stress? Well, yes, we're still talking about privacy, but privacy and AI jobs have a lot of stress. You have to be an expert, you have to be in front of many people, you need soft skills, you need hard skills, you need legal skills, stakeholder skills, you name it, and you need it. And I know, having been in this profession for so long, that it is a stressful job. And you need to demonstrate leadership. How do you do that? Now, these are very, very, very interesting questions, but also very, very, very challenging questions because it's easy to say and very difficult to do. And to talk about this, if none other than a leadership coach who has a YouTube channel, who's posting regularly on LinkedIn, and is also a professor on leadership. I'm talking about none other than Dr. Professor Julia Milner. So let's go and learn from her on how we all can manage stress and be leaders.
Hello, and welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast with Punit Bhatia. This is the podcast for those who care about their privacy. Here, your host, Punit Bhatia, has conversations with industry leaders about their perspectives, ideas, and opinions relating to privacy, data protection, and related matters. Be aware that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not legal advice. Let us get started.
So here we are with Julia Milner. Julia, welcome to Fit for Privacy podcast.
Thank you so much, Punit, for having me. I'm excited to be chatting to you today.
It's a pleasure. I'm also looking forward to some positive vibes and some leadership tips from you to AI and privacy professionals. But let me first ask you a challenging question. How would you summarize leadership in a few words? One, maybe I ask one word, but I know one word in leadership is a bit difficult. So in a few words.
That's very kind. Although if I would have to go with one word, I would say empowering.
Empowering, that's very nice. And let's maybe elaborate on that empowering.
So for me, leadership nowadays means empowering others. I think the times have passed where the leader had to know it all, have all the answers, micromanage, be the expert. I think nowadays leaders need to have skills to empower others, to bring out the best answers from others. Also, to be, of course, inclusive. We have a very diverse face of leadership nowadays, and that's amazing and that's good. But I think nowadays, yes, leaders absolutely need skills to empower others.
I think that's a very good segue into what I wanted to discuss with you. If
Thank you.
leadership is about empowering and connecting and letting people find out, I think one of the challenges for most AI and privacy professionals is they are very much in their world. They are experts in their field, but then they have to get things done with others and sometimes understand others, area and understand other departments' challenge. Now, the marketing guy tells you in marketing language, the procurement guy tells you in procurement language, but you have to lead. You have to still be the guide in that zone because you are the expert and you may not know all the answers.
Yes.
So I'm very curious to understand in such a situation, like how can someone take this leadership in such a situation? Situation being you are with someone you don't know. You are seen as an expert and you have to provide answers, but till you get to a certain level of comfort and understanding of what they are doing, how do you manage that situation?
So I think now we have to dive a little bit deeper. And I
Yes.
would actually assume that AI leaders would really understand the notion of not being able to be the expert anymore, because we can just ask AI, can't we?
Yeah.
And we get an answer. No, but there, of course, I think if you are in the expert mode, that might be a situation that actually requires your expertise. Absolutely. So let's say the other person really does not know, is new to a situation, is new to the company, and you keep asking questions and trying to empower them, and they just don't know. I mean, that's of course really frustrating, and that should not be the case. But working with a lot of CIOs, AI leaders in the field, more often there are actually situations that don't require you to be the expert, but require you to empower your team. Because you also have to think about it. If you always provide the answer, you're creating a bottleneck. Yeah. So everybody has to come to you when a decision has to be made. And that means also you yourself are losing a lot of time because you don't have time to work on strategic tasks. You really are just there to always give the answer. So it's actually also in your own interest. It also means, you know, if leaders are constantly in this, what I call micromanaging mode or motivational micromanaging mode by providing the answer, even if you do it in a motivational way, you are actually also at risk of, at burning out because you are constantly under the pump and under the pressure. So I would highly recommend leaders in the AI privacy field to really invest in those skills to think about how to get the best out of others. And you mentioned another thing, Punit. You said, well, maybe I'm just constantly working project teams. They're new people. I don't know them. What am I going to do? And so I think that is actually the answer. If I have to constantly recreate new teams, build trust quickly, I need to have different skill sets than just telling others what to do. I need to create that trust quite quickly. So again, there we have skills such as empathy, active listening, asking good questions, helping with goal setting, and so on, that are really much required nowadays.
I think that's very well said. What we can do, I'm just translating it into the language of those AI and privacy pros, meaning, yes. You go into a situation, don't start with what you know. Just ask questions, be empathetic, understand their problem, let them find out, and then eventually set the goal that from a privacy, from an AI perspective, this is what we have to do, and then collaboratively, collectively find or meet that goal. Because many a time what happens is we think we are an expert. So I would get into a room and say, who knows about privacy? Let me tell you about privacy. And then I'm so full of myself. And they're like, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. It's your problem. So turn it other way around. Go into the room. Ask, why are you invited? What are they looking for?
Yes.
And then connect with them. Connect with their problem. And then you bring in a flavor of your thing and set the goal collectively. So that's how I would apply that. But then we're talking about being empathic, being relevant, connecting, collaborating, and setting goals. But people usually are in high-pressure situations because you have a one-hour meeting with your CIO or maybe 15 minutes with the board, and there you have to demonstrate value, you have to get budgets, and you also have to get through a lot of other things which are blocking you. So how do we handle those high pressure situations? Because leadership is two way. One is getting things done the other side of hierarchy or in parallel. So it's three way. Your those who are reporting to you, those who are working with you, and then the upper hierarchy, as I call it.
Absolutely. So
how do you do that? Because they, again, goal setting will work, but you need to be precise and specific.
Absolutely. But you can empower or coach all way around. You can also coach upwards, sidewards, downwards. Absolutely. I think, though, again, what I want to add in here, check first if the situation at hand is conducive to coaching or empowerment. So the situation you just described as sound like something I need to transfer a short amount of information in a short amount of time. So there maybe also some other skills come to play. So I don't want to advocate and say, oh, every situation you have to go in and ask, so how is everybody feeling? I'm not saying that. But I think you are getting much more buy-in from others if you include them. And even if you just go into a meeting and a presentation like this and ask at hand. So we have an hour to discuss privacy matters, AI matters. With what would you like to walk away out of this meeting? What would be a good outcome for you out of this meeting? And even if I just understand that, then I can tailor and target my part of the presentation much more to what other people are wanting to hear. And now you might say, Punit, but Julia, this is what we have an agenda for. But an agenda is not that. Agenda is just very descriptive. Okay, let's talk about privacy matters. But maybe it means for one board member, well, I want to have 10 points that we have to watch out for. And another one is saying, well, I want to actually ask the opinion of our teams. And another one is saying, so you have to understand first, what would be a good outcome after this 1 hour? What is a good outcome? Because I think all of us can say, we've been sitting in meetings where we just thought, why am I here? And what just happened? I mean, we talked, but what is actually going on? So I think having that goal orientation also for yourself, but get others involved to understand that. But again, if the situation is about, no, I have to put my expertise in, of course, I'm not taking that away from you. You can do that. But it's much less motivating for people in general to just carry out things, you know, and they might go like, yeah, all these privacy policies and all these matters. Yeah, sure, but it's not really relevant to me. But if you include them in the process, and maybe they have not exactly an idea on a privacy matter, but maybe they can share how it makes them feel or how they perceive the clients or what's going on. And by having these conversations, I understand maybe more in how I need to tailor my approach so that people actually do care and do buy in.
No, but you're bringing in a very important point, Julia. No, most of the times, even for board meetings, though I have 15 minutes, we get in with a preconceived notion. This is what I have to say. This is what I want. But how about turning the table and taking a minute saying, of course, I'm on the agenda, but is there anything pressing from your perspective that you like me to cover today before I start? Because if there's something from you which is more important, then I cover that first. And it's okay. You can squeeze what you have to say in 5 minutes, but focus on what they need from you. Because if what you're bringing in here is, if you continue with your own, mic, and you say, I have the mic, let me take the floor for 15 minutes. You may have the 15 minutes in the mic perspective, but you're not getting listened to. Nobody's paying attention because they have something else going on in their mind. Yes. So what you're bringing in is, be aware of the situation and always kind of ask, what do we want to achieve here? We're 15 minutes, we're 30 minutes, we're 1 hour. What do we get out of this? But now that's the leadership part of it. But we want to be leader. We want to be experts because we want to be happy.
Can I add something in? Sorry, Poonam, because I have when you just summarized that, something came to my mind. Also make sure to check that we're all wanting the same outcome. Because often, again, it might mean something different to you than it might mean to me. So let's say we can agree on a goal and we say, okay, well, let's invest more time in working on this project. We go away and we meet a week later and I ask you, so Punit, how did you go? And you say, yeah, well, great. I invested an hour into this project. And I might go like, oh my gosh, I thought it was clear that 10 hours per day we would be working on it. So investing more time can mean something different to you than to me. And that's what I'm kind of like heading at. So don't assume it's so clear. And rather explore a bit more what would be a good outcome or good use of art.
You're saying a very important thing, because many a times when I go to board, what and compared to me earlier and now, I mean, say 10 years ago and now, 10 years ago, I would exactly do what I'm saying not to do. That is, I'll go into the room, say, this is my presentation, and hope they are listening. But I had a very good incident about 8 or 9 years ago. So there's somebody who said, Punit, you come in, you have very good slides, you have very good message, and you know your stuff, but it's priority for you doesn't mean it's priority for us. So you got to come and understand our priorities also, rather than pushing your priorities, because sometimes you're too hard. I said, okay, that's nice, Jean-Pierre. And what we need to do now is, what do you want me to do? And I said, it's of course important, but it's not the number one. And you want me to stop my 1 to 5 and then focus on this. So that's what you're bringing in. Be a little bit situationally aware. Have a little bit of empty space in your mind.
Yes.
It's very difficult to do, by the way.
It
but
is.
Then when you have that, pay attention. Let people say what they want to say. Maybe ask explicitly. And it's okay if your agenda is not covered and their agenda is covered, because end of the day, you are here to serve as a leader. Mm-hmm. You are here to help them achieve their objectives, because maybe you're... Okay, you are an expert, you have to ensure compliance, and you have to ensure AI and privacy are done in the right way. But end of the day, for them, not for you. Mm-hmm. So that's a very important message. Mm-hmm. But that's on the leadership side of things. Yes. So we got to be aware, we got to take time, we got to ask, we got to set objectives, and then in an empathetic way, take it forward. But all of us work for a reason or a mm-hmm. purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay. Without getting into the purpose discussion, we all want to be happy. So in terms of work, these jobs are very stressful, if I may call it.
Yeah.
You mentioned the burnout aspect.
Absolutely.
So maybe not everyone is in a burnout mode, but everyone is stretched to a limit. Mm-hmm. And we tend to forget little things. So what are a couple of things, maybe three things you would tell people to get more out of their jobs or maybe life in general? And be happier. I know it's a lot to ask, but if you can.
Wow, that was a very tricky question. But you're absolutely right. And it's very relevant for Korean work. So we know that work well-being is on the rise. So in a recent poll, job seekers, I think it was 2/3 who said, I want my organization to care about me. I want my employer to care about me. During the pandemic, employees wanted their leaders to ask, you know, how are you? And not just like, how are you? Yeah, great. Okay. But really ask, how are you? And I think your question was probably more tailored for the individual. So a bit away from leadership. But I think leaders have to be very aware that they are acting as role models in this regard. So, if I'm seeing my leader doing something, then I might also take it on for me. And I think tip number one is really practice being in the moment. Whatever that means for you. So, I mean, for some, it's, you know, engaging in meditation or something like this that gets them in the moment. For others, it might be more, you know, doing something more active. Yeah. But really trying to be present where you are. And if you can't be present, then if it's an important meeting, for example, maybe you can postpone it, or trying to get yourself into a stage where you can focus. So be in the moment. I think that's very important. I think the second thing is, you mentioned or touched base on that already, is a values check. So I think if we are aligned with our values, it's much more likely that we are also are happier or experience more well-being. So values is kind of like what drives you, what gets you out of bed in the morning, and really trying to align your career, but also breaking down your goals in alignment. So just to give you an example, so I try to set like value orientated mottos, so not really mm-hmm. goals, mottos, always for the seasons, because I think if you set year-long goals, our situations is changing and then the goals need to adapt and so on. But I do set myself mottos, and I think for autumn it was simplify, clarify, and align, for example. And then I can check for every decision I have to make, or if there's a stressful situation, I go back to my three mottos, and these are values, and I can see, okay, is this simplified, or can I simplify this further? Is there enough clarity, or can I clarify it further? And is it aligned? And I think that kind of like helps me a little bit as a guiding compass. I mean, you don't have to set it for the season, but I think just being aware that we have to also be agile and do a check-in more often. So that would be my second tip. And my third tip would be, in fact, me time or setting boundaries. So I saw the other day a TED talk of a woman who said she was married to a very successful man. And what this very successful man was doing, he was really good at saying no. And because he was saying no, he was able to say yes to other things. It turned out that this famous man was actually Elon Musk, by the way.
Wow.
And we have lots of things I think we can criticize Elon Musk for, also in his leadership style. But I thought that was actually something very interesting. So learn to say no, so that you have also the capacity to say yes to things that matters. But I think also to an extension to that, be okay also with receiving no's. So I think sometimes people take it very personally when somebody says no, or something doesn't work out, or we've made a mistake or something like this. So I think get comfortable and redefine also what making mistakes means to you. And I think we should not even be calling it mistakes. We should just call it, you know, trial again, analyze, observe, feedback, and go again. So I think that would help. But that would be my three tips. So be in the moment, find ways so that you can practice mindfulness and whatever works for you. Number two, align your values and do a frequently a check-in, align your decision-making to that. And number three, me time, setting boundaries, learning to say no, and also, yeah, handling a no. So I think these are my three happiness, work, well-being tips for individuals.
No, very right. I think these can be applied both in context of job, so work, because like right now we are saying be in the moment. So if you're in a meeting, try to absorb, try to understand who's where, try to ask what are their objectives. Then values check, meaning, of course, values can be, as you described, my personal values versus their values.
Very different.
But values can also be what are they looking at in this 15 minutes? What are they looking at in this 1 hour want to achieve? And then me time, meaning not possible in meetings, but at least at work and in person, taking time for yourself to say, what do I want to achieve? One thing I learned over the years is before you go into a meeting or any situation, you ask, what do I want to achieve here?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Sometimes on the way, you don't have to take 30 minutes and meditate. What do I want to achieve here? I want to have a good conversation. I want to get this decision. Yeah. So you at least are setting yourself up for what you want to achieve. And then you have something to check in. And sometimes it's two, sometimes it's three things. So it's not easy per se. So yeah, thanks for those tips. Now, we talked about this burnout concept that you explained. And I think if we do these three things, you can very well avoid it. But how do you recognize sometimes that you need some help? Because leadership is stressful.
Yeah.
And these positions, we talk about AI leaders, privacy leaders, they have a lot going on. It's not one thing, it's hundreds of things. And things tend to fall off.
Yes.
So how do you kind of, you know, stay on top of things and not get into that situation apart from doing the three things?
Yeah. So I think there's different ways to do it. I've recently done actually a YouTube video on that, in creating yourself a support network. And you should create that support network in times where you're not stressed. And you should definitely have a coach. So it doesn't have to be a formally or officially coach, but somebody who is, you know, helps you to let you arrive at your own answer. It can't also hurt to have a mentor or several mentors. So these are people who have, they don't have to be older than you or more experienced than you, but just somebody who's sharing their way. So how they have done it. I think that's really good. Then it's good to have a critical friend. So somebody who's, you know, not always saying, yeah, you're doing everything great and everything right, but who actually goes like, actually, Julia, no, I don't think you're right there. So I think that's very important. Then also for your career, I think look out to have a champion. So these are people in your organization or outside of your organization who really are championing you. So who are promoting you, you know, hey, look at what, you know, Punit has done for a great job and so on. And then there's the, what I call them, wisdom bringers. So these are people who have been there, have done it, and they really know what matters. Maybe it's even people who are already, you know, retired and looking back, and they can, I think, bring a very different perspective. And I think if you have or build yourself a support network like this, then you also can have, hopefully, frequently check-ins and make sure that you are also providing, of course, these roles to other people. So, you know, always mentor back or coach back and so on. So I think that would be very helpful. Now, the other thing is, I've done a research project with an Australian colleague, and what we looked into is there are things that you can do to like prevent stress, and then there are techniques you should use when you are in the stressful situation. So think about what can you do in quiet times to make sure you build up resilience. Some people that might be workout or healthy eating or socializing or, you know, having a hobby and so on. So do things that kind of like, build your resilience muscle before the stress hits. But then also think about techniques. So when you are in a stressful situation, think beforehand, what are some things I could do? And it might be very little techniques, like I I will take 10 deep breaths before I react, or I will first sleep a night over it, or I will make sure to, I don't know, go for a run or get some of the energy out, or I will make sure to, call one of these five people in my support network. So make sure you have some clarity, because I think what happens in really stressful situations is we get so sucked into the moment that we zoom in, so to speak, and we're so zoomed in that we can't see the big picture anymore. And the small thing all of a sudden means like, this is the biggest thing, this is my life, and this is kind of like all that matters. But if we would just take a moment to zoom out a little bit and put things into perspective, often we can get new ideas and we can get out of the situations. So that would be my two tips. So again, number one would be build your support network of these five people or five types of people, and also make sure you are that support net for somebody else. And number two, build things you can do to prevent and build resilience, and so to prevent stress, and then have some techniques for the moment.
I think very well said. Very often we underestimate the value of perspectives, and the way you articulated five different perspectives, a coach, a critic, and a champion, and so on, that allows you to have somebody else seeing you from a very different dimension. The critic, you will know that he will or she will say, this is not okay, this is not good. You know that coach will always support you, help you find, because sometimes we think, if it's a coach, he will give me answers. No,
no.
The coach has to help you find answers. You still got to do the thinking and the job.
Exactly.
That's where the gap sometimes is, because otherwise it's a teacher.
Yes. So,
and that's what people need to realize. And when you say also finding your space or finding, that's the most important thing. If you are present, if you understand the situation, if you observe others, if you observe your feelings, thoughts, then you are in the moment and then you are able to take action. So you can build resilience, certainly, absolutely. Now, in essence of time, I would say, what would be your one key message or final message? Because we talked about so many things. For AI and privacy leaders who are having very busy lives, are seen as experts, and also are expected to deliver answers and results. And it's a thankless job, let me also say that.
Yeah. Well, I probably come back to what I said in the beginning. So empower others, but also empower yourself. I think that's very important. And remember, it might sound like the techniques I talked about, they might sound like you initially have to invest more time. And that might be very well true. But long term, you will be saving so much time. If you are empowering others, then you have more time to focus on strategic tasks. If you have built resilience and know your techniques, then you not get lost and so down in, you know, these stressful situations, but you are still able to act and to get up and to do things. So I think it's wise to take moments for both. So building your inner empowerment, so empower yourself, but also your outer empowerment, empower others. Because again, I think it's a mind trick we're playing, that we think we can save time this way and only our answer is the best. No, often it's not. And so really, rethink leadership, I would say. Self-leadership and leading others.
Very well said. And I think if I have to reflect back on my experience of last 20, 25 years, it is exactly what people need to do. And they need to do it on a daily basis, maybe even an hourly basis or minute by minute basis, because you need to stay in touch. And if you think it, leadership or self-help or self-reflection is something I'll do weekly or hourly or daily, no, it's every moment you need to think, where are you headed? What are you headed? And course correcting all the time. So it has been wonderful to have you. And if I may ask one more thing before we say it's time. If people think that you can help them and they want to contact you, they want to approach you, what's the best way?
Well, I'm trying to post frequently on YouTube. So I have two YouTube channels. So probably for the career questions, it's Professor Julia Milner and YouTube channel. So I do short videos about all of these questions we just discussed. And I'm also frequently posting on LinkedIn on topics around career leadership, work well-being. So feel free to reach out there as well.
Yeah. And I must say your posts and your videos are very useful. So all that people have to do is find you. We will put the show in the show notes, the links to YouTube channels and your LinkedIn. The people have to go and follow you and subscribe your channel. That's what they have to do the least. And then with your inputs and the frequency at which you are posting, you will certainly help them, and they will certainly be helped with a perspective.
Thank you so much.
That, Julia, thank you so much for sharing your insights and perspectives, and it was wonderful to have you.
Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you, Pune. Thank you for your work.
Same here.
Thanks for listening. If you liked the show, feel free to share it with a friend and write a review. If you have already done so, thank you so much. And if you did not like the show, don't bother and forget about it. Take care and stay safe. Fit for Privacy helps you to create a culture of privacy and manage risks by creating, defining, and implementing a privacy strategy that includes delivering scenario-based training for your staff. We also help those who are looking to get certified in CIPPE, CIPM, and CIPT through on-demand courses that help you prepare and practice for certification exam. Want to know more? Visit www.fitforprivacy.com. That's www.fit4privacy.com. If you have questions or suggestions, drop an email at hello@fitforprivacy.com. Until next time, goodbye.